Thought for today. Love needs nothing to love. How about that? It's so easy for us to say that love needs nothing to love. But what does that really mean? When we are unconditionally loving, we are loving because we're loving. We're not loving because something needs to be loved, or something deserves to be loved, or something should be loved. We're above that. We're above that. When we love, we just love. Now, let's go back to the child. He's always a good possibility, or she's always a good possibility. The little child is in the crib, loving itself, chewing on its toe. You know, its legs work that way nicely, you know. Put its toe right in its mouth and chew on it. And think that's the greatest thing in the world, the greatest toy. And just having a wonderful time. So, it's loving itself. It loves its toe. It loves everything that it does. Now, little Love here, our little miniature pincher, just ran over and grabbed his chew toy. And he's sitting there loving it, chewing it, playing with it. He doesn't need anybody else. If somebody else comes along, he'll look up surprised and say, "What are you doing here? I'm playing by myself. I'm loving myself. I'm having a good time. Why are you butting in here? Oh, you want to play too? Okay, okay." And so he'll quickly readjust, but not unkindly. He readjusts because he's happy with himself. And he's always happy to invite someone else to come and play with him, someone else to come and be part of his game. He thinks that's just wonderful. Now, are you able to do something like that? Are you able to adjust and work with yourself in that harmonious way? Well, love needs nothing to love. So whenever you feel that you need to have something to love, whenever you feel that you need to have somebody feel sorry for you or somebody be compassionate for you, you got a problem. You have a big problem. Because if that person is not compassionate with you or loving with you, then you feel very unhappy. And you feel very sad. And you feel very, the world has let you down. Nothing is going right, you say. And of course, that's not the truth. The truth is, you are not opening your eyes. Whenever we open our eyes, the only thing we see in the world is love. Because love makes the world go round. Love is the cement that keeps the world in order. Love is the only thing that makes life worth living. Love is the only... My goodness, we can talk love, 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 love. We can talk love from the human point of view, and wow. We can talk love from the spiritual point of view, wow. We can talk love from the agape point of view, love. Wow. Wonderful. And when there's no love, Paul wrote about that, 1 Corinthians 13. When there's no love, we are but a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal without meaning, without purpose, without any depth. But with love, everything has meaning, everything has purpose, everything has depth. Now what about you? What about me? Are we 100% loving without needing anything? Love needs nothing to love. Are we love that needs nothing to love? Or do we have to love something? Have you ever seen a person walking down the street with a silly smile on their face? And you say to them, "Hey, what are you smiling about?" "Oh, I don't know. I just feel good inside myself. I just was thinking happy thoughts." Why don't we all do that? Why don't we all walk down the street with a silly smile on our face, thinking happy thoughts? Why don't we all walk through life thinking happy thoughts? Now, if we have an unhappy thought in our mind and we let it go, then we have happy thoughts in our mind. If we have unhappy thought in our mind And we think about that unhappy thought, and we think that unhappy thought should be recognized, and it should be appreciated, and it should be going on, then on we go. We just develop that unhappy thought into more unhappy thoughts until all of a sudden all the loving thoughts are out of us. They're not even home anymore. All the loving thoughts are gone. Now, I worked with my brother Ray for years, trying to bring him into the family, trying to let him know that everybody loves him. And if the people don't love him, so what? He loves himself. And I didn't give up, nor did I think I had to do the job, that it was something that needed being done. I just loved Ray because I love him. He's my brother. You know, when you have a family love, you love your brother, your sister, your mother, father, whoever. When you have a family love, it sort of surmounts any other kind of love. It goes beyond any other kind of love. I can talk bad about my brother, but don't you talk bad about my brother. I'll knock your lights out, you know. I love my brother, and I can talk bad about him, but I can't really talk bad about him either. Because if I talk bad about him, I'm talking bad about me. So I don't talk bad about my brother. Well, my brother was unhappy with some of the members of the family, and some of the members of the family were unhappy with him. And so I continually was sharing this love between the different members of the family. I would tell the girls how wonderful Ray is, what wonderful things he's doing, and that sort of stuff. And I'd tell Ray what wonderful things the girls are doing, and what wonderful things they're saying about him that I plant in their mind, and all these other things. And it wasn't more than about 10 years. It just took 10 years. And all of a sudden, the day came when the break came. I had never expected it, nor did I ever give up on sharing the love between them. And then the day came, and the dam was broken, and nothing was forgotten, nothing was forgiven, but they just looked at each other and said, I love you. As I told you the story, I said to Ray, I said, can I take some of these flowers to May? And he says, oh, sure, tell her that I sent them. What? Wonderful, fantastic, glorious. So when I went to see her, I said, May, Ray sent these flowers for you. He did. I could kiss him. I could kiss him. I could eat him up. I said, just a minute. Let's get on the telephone here. So we got on the phone, and she said it. Poof. It wasn't total, but the big step was taken. The big step. I could eat him up. I could love him. You see, she really wanted to love, because that's all she really knows how to do. And he really wanted to love, but they had to have somebody in between there who took up the slack and wasn't judging and wasn't saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. True, I was the catalyst. True, I hung in there and worked with him. True, it was for me that I wanted the relationship harmonious, because I didn't want anything inharmonious in the family. True, it was all for me. Love needs nothing to love. But it turned out to be a blessing for them too. The game's not over yet. There are many more acts to be played. And there are many more roles that I will have to play, that I want to play. And we'll watch. We'll watch and we'll see some of the great things that happen. But what's going to take place? What's going to take place is I am going to be more loving. I am going to be happier. I'm going to live a life filled with peace and joy and all good, because I am demonstrating that and working it. Now you say, well, Herb, you're good at this, you know, you're fantastic and stuff. Hey, don't pull that on me. I choose to be a human just like you choose to be a human. I choose to be a divine human just like you choose to be a divine human. I work at it perhaps a little more diligently than somebody else, but not less effectively, because all of you can be having all the experiences that I have, maybe you don't want them, but you can be having all the experiences that I have and all of the glorious experiences I have, because I am not superior to you. I am not superior to you. I am not beyond you or above you or better than you. And you're not better than me either. We are all using the same principle. We're all using the same rules, the same game. We're playing the human game here. You know, you have met in your lifetime some human beings that you thought were, wow, what a beautiful person that is. Sensitive, caring, untouched, no judgment. They never speak a sorry word about another person. They never look at another person desiring whatever they have, their car, their house, their wife, their children, their dogs and cats. You know what I mean? They delight in other people's joy, and it enhances their own joy. A spiritual master is not something that everybody wants to be. And therein lies the problem. A spiritual master can do anything, but a spiritual master doesn't have human responses. A spiritual master is not touched by other people's unhappiness, because a spiritual master looks right through it and sees where the other person is going, sees this as just a little temporary step on their road. A spiritual master doesn't look at another person's poverty or sickness or lack of good relations or success in business as something eternal and something permanent. A spiritual master looks at that and says, oh, you want to play that game for a while? Okay, you want to play be sorry for yourself for a while? Oh, you want to play yourself hurt for a while? Oh, you want to play yourself poor for a while or sick for a while? That's okay. A spiritual master doesn't judge it. Because, and the because shouldn't be there, but he doesn't judge it because he sees beyond it. The spiritual master sees right through it. And he knows that 10 minutes from now, a day from now, or 10 years from now, like with Brother Ray, 10 years from now, it comes true. And the spiritual master always plays the game consistent to what the spiritual master believes about himself. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe is your goal? What do you believe is your direction in life? Love needs nothing to love. Love just is. Does a water need some place to be? Does a drop of water have to be in the ocean, in your glass, in the sky, in the cloud? Does it have to be? It just is. Love, too, just is. And we just use love as a joyful experience. So, love needs nothing to love. The water needs nothing to perform itself in. And you and I, we need nothing to be ourselves. We are fantastic beings. And the more we realize that we're fantastic beings, the more we realize that we are not touched by the world around us. We are observers in it. We are participants in it. But we're not owned by it or touched by it. Are you ready for that? If you're ready for that, then you're ready to be a master. If you're not ready for that, then take your time. There's no rush. There's no rush. We can do it now or later. No big deal. But remember, love needs nothing to love. Love is absolutely perfect, absolutely brilliant, absolutely wonderful. And the love I have for you is the kind of love that you could have for all the world. Unconditional love. But I play the games. That doesn't mean I'm not unconditionally loving. I play the games so that I'm part of the world with you and you're part of the world with me. You play the game too. Let's all play it unconditionally. For love needs nothing to love. Wonderful, isn't it?